Jonathan Marcus is the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. He's in London. Jonathan, we'd like to talk with you about U.S. policy in the Mideast right now. I guess let's take the micro shot of Yemen, which we just heard from. It has historically attracted Muslim extremists. How big a challenge is it for the White House to distance itself from President Saleh at this point?
I think it's a huge challenge, and I think we're seeing the White House very slowly and gradually seeking to distance itself. I think there are differences in different departments, notably between the Pentagon and the State Department. Yemen, for all its imperfections, is one of the key allies in the so-called War on Terror. Remember, Yemen is home to probably one of the most successful franchises of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Much of its territory is ungovernable. This gives a group like Al-Qaeda free rein in some areas to set up their bases, training camps, and so on. And of course, the geographical position of Yemen is so crucial, right at the foot of the Red Sea, almost one side of the crucial shipping routes up north to the Suez Canal. So if the whole of Yemen were to become ungovernable, a kind of Afghanistan by the sea, if you think back to Afghanistan in the Taliban days, that would be a real nightmare for Washington. I think that's why it's only very gradually, if you like, distancing itself from President Ali Abdullah Saleh, although it looks increasingly as though President Saleh is becoming more of a liability than a positive feature.
And what kind of event do you think needs to take place before the White House distances itself even further from President Saleh?
Well, I think the danger is we're beginning to see those events. There's been reports in the last few hours of more people being shot in a number of towns in Yemen, demonstrators, protesters being shot apparently by the security forces. This kind of thing cannot go on without the Americans making a fundamental shift in policy. The problem is, as you may ask in so many other countries in the region, what replaces Ali Abdul Saleh? The patchwork of groups there is so diverse. I mean, quite apart from the protesters, students, their teachers, the urban middle class. And so it's very unclear whether you would get even a government that controlled the same amount of country and territory that President Saleh now controls, or whether the centrifugal forces in Yemen would simply be unstoppable.
Right. I mean, we experience that same kind of diversity in Libya. You know, Jonathan, critics ask why the U.S. should support the protesters or rebels in one country and not another country. I mean, by the same token, they also ask, what's the difference between these despots and all these countries who have essentially prohibited various freedoms for their citizens for so many years? Why cherry pick which countries with these problems you're going to focus on?
Well, it's a good question, and I think it's an understandable question in the light of current events. The British Foreign Secretary, William Hague, a few days back said that, you know, all tyrants aren't the same. One bad guy isn't the same as every bad guy. That's part of an answer. I think equally, you can't necessarily do something in every single country.
If you look at the whole region, if you zoom out for a bit, I'm wondering how engaging in one country actually affects the perceptions of leaders in other countries among their citizens. For example, how did the Obama administration's muscular intervention in Libya, do you think, change kind of the game for Yemen? I mean, are there overt diplomatic messages being sent with Libya to the rest of the region?
I think there are messages. I think that is one of the reasons why you had the Western intervention in Libya. I think there was a great concern that if the Gaddafi regime had been able to clamp down on the rebellion in his country, if he had been able to carry out quite appalling massacres and so on, the message that would be received around the region, not just about Western policy, but about the future of the Arab Spring and where this attack on authoritarian regimes was heading, would have been very, very damaging. And I think that is one of the factors, anyway, that led to the Western intervention in Libya.
I mean, it does seem like U.S. policy, the White House policy toward all these countries right now, is really tailor-made for each country. Do you think it's even possible for the White House to have a consistent and coherent approach to the Mideast right now?
Beyond the platitudes of supporting democracy and peaceful change and so on, I think it's very hard to have a comprehensive policy. Would that the policy actually was tailor-made. I think it's much more pragmatic and much more responsive, reactive, perhaps, than that. I think one's got to be clear here. You know, these events have taken the world by surprise. They've taken policymakers in the West by surprise. They raise all sorts of difficult issues of short-term, medium and long-term policies. And of course, these events are not going to be over in a week or a month or a year. We're seeing the start of what could be a very, very messy and difficult process of transition that runs at different speeds in different countries. And one mustn't overestimate the levers that the American administration has to pull to influence events. I think we're at a moment where America's influence in the region is much more limited than it was a decade or so ago.
Jonathan Marcus, the diplomatic correspondent for the BBC in London. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.